Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Jocelyn Sambira at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, women should form a sisterhood as the battle over their rights intensifies, says a UN independent expert. And the head of a UN partner organization that works to end nuclear testing says women have a powerful voice in the scientific community. But first, the allegations of sexual exploitation and abuse by peacekeepers in the Central African Republic, or CAR, came as a huge shock to the UN mission there, also known by the acronym MINUSCA. That's what Diane Corner, the deputy head of MINUSCA, said during a visit to UN headquarters in New York on the last day of her tenure. International troops serving as peacekeepers in CAR were accused of sexually abusing a number of young children in exchange for food or money between 2013 and 2015. A year later, an investigation by the UN uncovered more claims of abuse in 10 peace operations. The majority were made against MINUSCA and the UN mission in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, MONUSCO. Ms. Corner shared with Liz Gafidi the impact these cases have had on MINUSCA and the UN overall.
It was a huge shock to the mission, and it really turned us upside down in a very good way. We didn't really realize the scale of the problem, but we set out some principles to start with, and I insisted on those. I insisted that we should be transparent, that we should try and adopt a victim-centered approach. I say try because in a country like the Central African Republic, there's not much by way of provision for anybody in need. So you had to do your best to use the services that were available. The silver lining is that not only we overhauled everything that we did in terms of SEA, but also the UN system as a whole, put right at the top of the UN's agenda, because the last thing that you want with the UN peacekeeping mission is for you to be doing harm. If there's any good that's come out of this, it's the fact that the chances of it happening again are reduced, but I think we need to be constantly vigilant.
Were there many women in the mission?
Two of the top leadership team of eight were women. In terms of the civilian side, it's about 25% overall, but it does get less as you go nearer the top. There are two deputy SRSGs, women. We might be the first mission to do that. That makes a huge difference, having women in leadership positions.
Would you have any message to share with other women in peacekeeping missions?
Well done. We are absolutely critical. You can't do it without women. And we know, we've seen time and again, that once you get women involved in peace processes, you just bring a new dimension. Women work together in different ways. So often the combatants are men. The women are the ones who suffer. They're the ones who often invest more in searching for peace. We've seen in CAR that between communities, when there are problems, it's very often the women coming back together again who recreate the bonds between communities.
Have you spoken to any of the victims?
I have spoken in very general ways to groups of women who have suffered, because sexual violence is a huge problem in a country like CAR and in many other countries that are coming out of conflict. And in a group, maybe they feel they have a greater degree of anonymity, so they're more open to talking in generic terms about the problem.
How would you respond to those who question the value of the UN's work?
If MINUSCA wasn't there, you'd have had a genocide. There's no question in my mind. We've saved tens and tens of thousands of lives.
Women are being urged by a UN independent expert to open their eyes and form a real sisterhood to counter the alarming backlash against women's rights underway in many parts of the world. Alda Fasio, chairperson of the Working Group on the Issue of Discrimination Against Women in Law and in Practice, made the remarks last Thursday. The group released a statement warning that the very concept of gender equality was being increasingly contested in some quarters. Speaking to me on the line from Costa Rica, Ms. Fasio shared how some UN member states were openly hostile to women's equality and rights.
For a few years now, there's been a growing backlash against the gains that women made during the last decade of the 20th century, and then now we're seeing a more open backlash against or resistance to women's gains. And some states here at the UN and at the Human Rights Council openly hostile to women's equality and to women's rights, especially sexual and reproductive rights, but some even to saying that there is no such thing as the right to equality for women.
Why do you think that the trend has become alarming? Why now?
Well, there are many factors because, you know, there's always a backlash when there's gains in any oppressed group starting to become independent or to become autonomous. There's always resistance from those who would gain from the oppression of those that are oppressed. So women, you know, there is a lot of resistance from men and women who just don't understand that independence and autonomy and freedom is part of their rights. But also, I think that the populist governments that are taking over the world and fundamentalism, religious fundamentalism, cultural fundamentalism, economic fundamentalism, which really cannot stand women's independence because religious and economic fundamentalism, neoliberalism, and all kinds of religious fundamentalisms depend on women being subjugated and oppressed and not independent.
So what can people do at the individual level?
Well, one thing that I forgot to say, and this is what brings me to the individual level, is that because of our gains, many younger women thought that we already were equal, right? And in many of the European countries, especially, women believe that they're equal. There's nothing more that they need to do. They're already equal. They have a very narrow concept of what equality means. And so they feel that there is no need for a women's movement or feminist movement. They are more now into the LGBT movements, which are also, you know, needed. And I'm not saying that they're not, but that they think that women have made gains. Now we have to look to other groups that are oppressed as if we weren't still oppressed and discriminated.
Anything you'd like to add?
Well, that I think that women should open their eyes and let's make a movement of real sisterhood.
Women have a powerful voice in the global scientific community, the head of a UN partner organization that works to end nuclear testing has said. Lassina Zerbo, executive secretary of the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization, or CTBTO, was speaking on the last day of an international conference on science and technology that took place in Vienna, Austria. CTBTO is active in traditionally male-dominated fields, but it has been making an effort to increase women's representation in the organization. Speaking to Rocio Franco Rivero, Mr. Zerbo underscored the importance of having so many young people take part in the event.
Seeing them taking that opportunity that we offer to be acquainted to issues of non-proliferation and understanding disarmament and the threat from nuclear weapon, and then deciding that we don't want our generation and the future generation to deal with that. We want to solve it now. An issue like deciding that their schools would be nuclear weapon free school, from going into social media and then helping us to spread the word, not in a union way or complain, but finding the right words to touch the heart of the people who know that nuclear test monitoring is important to ban nuclear test explosion once for all. And knowing as well that the ban on nuclear testing is a low-hanging fruit in our fight towards banning nuclear weapon. And that was what I see as highlight of this thing. And I have one picture which is a highlight, is young Roger, who is 11 months, asking if he's too young to join the CTBT youth group. He will be our voice forever.
Also, I noticed there were a lot of women scientists participating in the conference. Yeah. How vital and important is to involve them?
As I mentioned in my opening statement for the conference, I said we took on board the Minister of Science and Technology of South Africa, Naledi Pandor, who said last time we need more women. So to balance, now we have more women than men because we had an all-women panel in many occasions. But more importantly, we've learned over the years that if women are at the heart of solving problems domestically in their respective families and socially, why don't we use them on big issues that require heart, feeling, and vision that the women have already, you know, at home? We cannot build a world that is just, a world that is fair, a world that is peaceful without the contribution of women. And with the CTBT, women have a more powerful voice. And that's what we wanted to do this time. And we have that.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter under UN Radio. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.